Now, I have the responsibility to preach God's word on the local congregation's responsibility to mission work, with the objective of what can elders, preachers, and members do to make the mission work the best it can be. The church has been entrusted within its care the preaching of God's word to the lost. The only way to heaven is via the word. That's the only way we're going to get there, and that's the only way anyone is going to get there. It is the word that one is born again, 1 Peter 1, verse 23. And without the word of Christ, we are without hope, and Jesus is the only hope that we have of going to heaven. For he has the words of life. And Peter asks this all-important question in John 6 and verse 68, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You see, Jesus has the words of life, and life is in the Son. And we know that from 1 John 5 and verse 11. And we know that there is no way unto life except through Jesus. He is the only way. He is the only life that each and every one of us and that the world has a hope of in John 14 and verse 6. But then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10 and verse 14. The church has the God-given responsibility to preach the word of grace. Acts 20 and verse 24. Unto them in darkness so that they can believe, so that they can call upon the Lord. But the words of salvation must be proclaimed. And it begins with each and every one of us. And that is where the church comes in. That is where the elders, the preachers, the members come in. This is the church's responsibility to go and proclaim the word of God unto those who are lost. First of all, elders, preachers, and members must have the attitude of seeking and saving the lost. The church must put our minds to the work. We must put our minds to it. In Judges chapter 5 and verse 2, we read here, according to what is written, and the word of God says in this verse, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. The children of Israel willingly offered themselves unto the Lord. And this willingness in the Hebrew carries the understanding of a willingness without any outward and authoritative command. That is, from the government themselves. But everything depended upon the voluntary rising of the strong and the will of the nation at large. And we too must have a willingness to serve God in the work of missions. The will of the church should be to seek and save the lost. That should be the will of the church. And that will needs to be implanted into our hearts, our minds, with the voluntary rising of the strong and the will of the church. See that Scripture in Judges 5 and verse 2 in principle applies to the church. When we look over to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 4, and we read God's word in verse 6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto half thereof, for the people had a mind to the work. Brother J.K. Gossett says in reference to this verse, the attitude of the people, a mind to work, was truly marvelous as they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. It was its disposition which caused Noah to build the ark and Moses to build the tabernacle, Solomon to build the temple, and the Lord to build his church. We must have the mind or put our mind to the work to go and teach the lost so that they too can be saved, so that they too can be a part of the Lord's building. All great works within the scriptures have been accomplished by great sacrifices. In other words, they put their minds to it. And we in this century also need to put our minds to the work. The song that we sang encouraged us and edified us to the work. And we need to put our minds to that work. To give it our effort to submit willingly unto God. To have a volunteer rising. A willingness to want to serve God in this way. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. The wise man tells us so clearly here about working God's work with all thy might and serving God in such a way before we pass from this life into the next. And whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You see, there's one thing for sure that each and every one of us is going to do. We're going to go to the grave. But you know why we're here, and every living breath that we have, we need to do the work with all our might. In other words, give it our all. You see, one of the things that commanders encourage their foot soldiers and commanders encourage their pilots in time of war is to give it their all. Go beyond. Sacrifice. And that's the kind of people we need to be. We need to support the mission to seek and save the lost. We must do it with all thy might. Give it our all. For in the grave our race and life is finished. Do it now while it is the day. And that's what our Lord says to do. Work now while it is the day. And that's the kind of people that we need to be. People who work now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not putting it off. Not making excuses. But doing the work now. Having that sense of urgency. Jesus says in Matthew 6 and verse 33. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The priorities of life have already been established for us. When we put on the name of Christ and when we wear the name of Christian, our priorities have already been established for us. And Jesus in Luke 19 and verse 10, the theme of our lesson, Jesus came into the world for what? To seek and to save them which are lost. That's why our Lord came here. And we too, according to Philippians 2 and verses 1 through 5, and especially in verse 5, says we need to have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ was to seek those who are in darkness. To go out there and reach them. You know, there's people that every one of us that we can reach. Every one of us. When we have the opportunity to talk to someone, talk. I was reading a story here in preparation for this lesson that talked about this denominational preacher over in England, and he was talking to this one man who was going to be executed for a crime in, I believe it was the last century. And the criminal looked at him and said, you know, in so many words, I really don't need you, but if you believe what you believe, then crawl across this land and tell people. You see, and what that criminal had recognized, that if a person really believes what they believe in, they're going to go and do it, whatever it takes. And our Lord says that we ought to do His commands, whatever it takes. In John 14 and verse 15, whatever it will take, do it, if we believe in it. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and Paul writing on to the church at Corinth, tells him in verse 12, he says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, and not according to that he has not. A willing mind is the starting point. That's where we need to begin with. And performance is the result from a mind willing to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the results of having a willing mind, that performance. Elders, preachers, and members must be willing to support the work, whatever it takes. Do it. Whatever it takes. Do it. Our attitude has to be right with God. It makes no difference if we console one another for not going or supporting, but it does make a difference with the Almighty. That's where it makes a difference. Oh yeah, between ourselves, it may not make any difference whatsoever, but on that day of judgment, it will. Because it makes a difference with God. Because He sent His Son into this world. Not to do harm to anyone, not to bring travesty to anyone, not to bring harassment to anyone, not to bring prejudices to anyone. He came here because He loved us. That's the reason why He came. Not to bring any harm whatsoever to anyone, but because our Lord has loved us. He sent His Son into the world to be a propitiation for us, that sacrifice, so that we ourselves may have the hope of eternal life. And we must seek and save the lost through the preaching of the Word. That's our responsibility, to go out there and preach and teach wherever we go. Secondly, elders, preachers, and members must build a foundation of evangelism in their local area and from this propel to other areas. In essence, use the success of local efforts in advancing the cause of Christ to other areas. But now, how do we build that foundation? Well, we start right with Acts 4 and verse 12. Scripture reads, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's where we start. This is our foundation. We start right there. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. We begin by teaching that salvation has no other foundation than the authority of the name of Jesus. We must preach the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. And this is the only gospel that has the power to save, Romans 1 and verse 16. And any other name used in salvation would be a perversion to God's plan. Notice that. Any other name is a perversion to God's plan. The foundation thus is the name of Jesus in salvation. He has the authority in it. Thus, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, not as his will. You notice the writings that we have within our scriptures, all the way from the beginning, all the way through the end, are the writings of God. If any man from Jeremiah, Isaiah, to John, to Matthew, to Peter, if any one of them had inserted their own words into it, it would not have been from God. It would have been from Peter. But you see, they spoke as they were inspired of God to speak these things unto man. When we look to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 11, we see that we have no other foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The only spiritual foundation is Jesus. He has the authority over all flesh. We know that from John 17 and verse 2. He has authority in heaven and on earth. We know that again according to what is written in Matthew 28 and verse 18. He has complete authority over the church, Ephesians 1 verses 22 and 23. Our trust in the Lord's way is sure. Whatever we do in word or deed needs to be done in the name of Jesus, Colossians 3 and verse 17. He is our only foundation. He is the reason why we go into the world. He is the reason why we're here. I appreciate Brother Michael Wyant's lesson last night about the power of the cross. The power of the cross moves us, motivates us to do the things that we do. Because we are the servants of the Most High, we are more than conquerors. You see, when God was with His people, and when His people was with our Lord, they never failed. It's only when they left God did they ever fail. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18 says, "Never forget who I am." And may we never forget who our Lord is. And according to Hosea 11 and verse 9, our Lord is God and not man. And we never need to lower Him to the point of being man. He is God and we need to keep Him in His place of reverence, according to the scriptures of the psalmist. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5, "And brethren, when I came to you and came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power." Notice what it says now in verse 5. "But your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That's where our faith stands. The foundation of evangelism does not stand in the wisdom of men. Man would want evangelism to consist of basketball, softball, bake sales, garage sales, dinners, and the list goes on. It's unending what the innovations of man's are. You see, when God saw that His own people were building the Tower of Babel, He saw a determination in their minds to do things. But He saw it as being a determination to do evil. You see, the only way we can do good is if we implant the mind of God into our minds. That's the only way we can do evil. Our faith comes from hearing the Word of God. That's where our faith comes from. And if our faith is not equal to that Word of God, it's someone else's faith. And then we have the religious schisms we find in the world today. God's foundation of evangelism is speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4 and verse 17. We need to go door to door, and the principle is, whoever we meet, wherever we go, teach and baptize, Acts 5 and verse 42, and Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. We are not to cease in such work. We are not to stop. Because it may fail in one area doesn't mean it's not going to fail in another area. We need, by principle, to teach God's Word to whoever we meet, wherever we go. In fact, in the Greek, in Matthew 28 and verse 19, "Go ye therefore" means wherever you go. Wherever we go, we need to be teachers of God's Word. Because there are lost souls, souls in darkness. The great promise that we find in Colossians chapter 1 is the fact that God will translate those who are in darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, in the light. That's the great assurance that we have. And that's the great assurance that we have as we face the grave in this life. That the translation that we will find from our death in the body, in this physical body, will be renewed in a spiritual body, according to 1 Corinthians 15 and many other passages of Scripture. You see, we need to be a people who teach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, according to as it is written. Now thus saith the Lord." That's the authority in which we teach. Verse 58 says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain," or it's not empty in God. And that's the kind of work that we need to be abounding in. We must teach that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This is the foundation of the church's evangelistic effort in mission work. We must be steadfast and unmovable in this doctrine and in this practice. The church should proclaim the truth in boldness, Ephesians 6 and verse 19. That's the way the church ought to be teaching it, in boldness, without fear. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 6 through 8. We read this in God's holy word. "And the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me who am less," and notice what the end of this verse says, "unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." That's what we ought to be preaching, those unsearchable riches of Christ. "To the lost and dying world, this is our foundation. It is this that we ought to build upon and no other. The church must preach the word," 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, we see the reason why we preach Jesus. And here we read again according to the Scriptures. "According to what is written, thus saith the Lord, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all exception, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief," Paul says. "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. Nevertheless, I have obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should afterward or hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." That's why we teach that death, burial, and resurrection. The cause or the reason why we preach Jesus is because our Lord saves. That's why we preach Jesus. The church has the responsibility to go into the world preaching and teaching upon the church's one foundation. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Jesus says he will build his church. And the way his church is built is by the preaching of the gospel. That's the way his church is built, is by preaching of the gospel, teaching his words. Furthermore, the church is to be doers of the word. That's the kind of people we are to be. In Matthew 21, verse 28, Jesus says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.'" We are to go to work today in the Lord's vineyard, not tomorrow when it is convenient for us, but today. The responsibility is with the church to respond now to those in darkness, not later. Will we not be like that prophet of old in Isaiah 6 and verse 8, "Here am I, send me"? Will we not be like him? We need the sense of urgency, again, the willingness to serve the Lord in responding to the written word, upholding our end of the responsibility of going out there and teaching the lost, not only in distant places in the world, but in our own neighborhoods, we need to be teaching the lost. Every year, there's more people who are being born. And every year, there's another generation coming up that needs to be reached. Every year. And we need to be responsible to those generations as well, of going out there and telling people. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, we read here, "And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, to finish his work." Jesus came to do the will of God. We too must do our Father's will. He came to finish the work, to see it through. We too must see the work through. We cannot abandon the world void of truth. We must preach and teach the gospel that saves. We cannot abandon this world. We are the light in which God's word is shown out from. See, God's word is that light. It's a lamp under our feet. Psalms 119 and verse 105. And also when we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and read 5 through 7, we read here, who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers by whom you believe it? Even as the Lord gave it to every man, I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Elders, preachers, members are nothing more than the instruments by which men and women believe. That's all we are, is instruments by which they can know the truth and be saved. John 8 and verse 32. They have the responsibility to work, i.e., to water, to plant, and let God give the increase. You see, it's God's responsibility to add to the church. Acts 2 and verse 47. It's God's responsibility to translate one who is in darkness into the kingdom of light. Colossians 1 and verse 13. That is God's responsibility. It is the church's responsibility to go and teach and baptize. Matthew 28 and verses 19 and 20. That's our responsibility. When we turn over to the church at Thessalonica, we see that they were an example unto all. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy and of the Holy Ghost, so that we were examples unto or to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And for them, or for from you, sounded out the word of the Lord. Notice what the church at Thessalonica did. From them sounded out the word of the Lord. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. See, the church in Thessalonica undertook the responsibility to sound out the word. We too must follow their example and sound out the word. But it takes elders who will lead, preachers who will preach, and members who will volunteer. The Lord needs workers of faith, and that's where the church comes in. James 1 and verse 25 and James 1 and verse 22 speak about how the church ought to be doers of the word, practitioners of what we read. James is so clear concerning our responsibility unto God. Bottom line, go out and do it. Do the work. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. While we work the work of God, our teaching will only be the word of God. We will preach only of thus saith the Lord. Action is demanded from God to man. Noah hammered out every day the work given to him. We too need to undertake the responsibility for mission work, to hammer out, to plug away, to keep on keeping on doing the work of the Lord and taking the gospel of Christ to the lost. There are lost people here in Kansas City, in Missouri, in Nebraska, and all places around the world, Latvia, England, India, lost places. There's lost people everywhere. And we need to take the word to them, because it's going to be through that word that they become saved. Because God's word is sure, it will save. And it will save those who respond in obedience. As a result of having God's attitude towards the lost, building upon the solid foundation, doing the work, make mission work a goal of the local congregation. And you know, it became the goal of the apostles right from the very beginning. Our Lord said after his resurrection from the grave, he told his apostles, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, wherever you go, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You see, from the very beginning, the apostles had it as an established goal. They had it out in front of them. This is what they were going to do. This was their lifelong aspiration, was to go and take God's word to those who are lost. It was their responsibility right from the very beginning. They made it their goal. They made it their work. It was a part of their vision to put God's Word and taking it to the lost right from the very beginning. Well, when we turn over to Acts chapter 1 and reread in verse 8, hear of God's plan of how that was going to be accomplished. But you shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both, notice where, in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and on to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is the plan. See, this is God's plan. Responsibility dictates following the plan. Make the plan the goal in each assembly of the Lord's church. Our Lord was compassionate. We too need to practice the same form of compassion to those who are lost. This plan was entrusted into the hands of faithful men who will in turn commit this same plan into the hands of faithful men. From one generation to the next generation, we will teach. When we look at Acts chapter 8 and beginning there at verse 1, we see here about the persecution of the church. And Saul was consenting unto his death, that is, the death of Stephen. And at this time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made a great lamentation over him. And for Saul, he made havoc of the church. And you know, there's going to be places where there's going to be people who are going to wreak havoc with the church, who's going to put stumbling blocks in front of us. But you know, we are more than conquerors. We can still teach God's Word to people who are lost, even with the obstacles that are in front of us. Even if they may be people we may know and may fear, don't let that fear overcome you and overpower you. Don't let it. Go out there and do the work. And then when we read in verse 4, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. Notice what they did. They went everywhere preaching the word. That's what they did. And then in verse 5, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Philip went to go and preach. Why? Because it was the ambition, the desire, not only of Philip, but of the church. And the church that was scattered went everywhere preaching. It was needful for him and them to go and serve the Lord elsewhere. And there is a need to do the same today. There are many areas in the world that need the gospel of Christ. A week here or a month there is a tremendous encouragement to those who are listening. It is a tremendous encouragement. I was on the other end of it when I lived in over in Europe. We appreciated brethren coming over there and teaching. It was a big encouragement for us. It was a shot in the arm to have faithful men come over who was experienced in the world, in the Word, and who was mature in the grace of God. And see, we can do that today, that week or 2 weeks or a month here and there to encourage brethren, so that they can go out and do that work. The need is great. The workers are few. The harvest is awaiting. It's teeming. It's rich. We need to duplicate this scriptural practice and not innovate it. The early church made it their goal to work in other areas. This is right. Thus follow the practice, brethren. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and looking at verses 11, 8, and 9, or looking at verses 8 and 9, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking of me, brethren, which came from Macedonia, supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Paul, in working with the church at Corinth, received wages from brethren in Macedonia. They supplied him as he worked in another area. It was their desire to see the gospel proclaimed and the mission further, the cause of Christ. See, this mission is greater than you or I. The mission is greater than us. It's bigger than us. And they saw that this mission was needed to be sent to other areas, supported in other areas. Elders, preachers, and members need to make the mission a priority in every congregation that wears the Lord's name faithfully. It needs to be the priority, not we've already seen abuses within the land, a people establishing other priorities, the social gospel. The priority of the faithful is the preaching of truth. That's where the priority lies. In the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, and chapter 2, verses 25 through 30, and chapter 4, 14 through 20, we see that Paul and Epaphroditus and the church at Philippi sacrificed for the purpose of the furtherance of the gospel. They all sacrificed. Why? So that God's word could go out even further. for the furtherance of the kingdom. They all sacrificed. They gave up something. They're all involved in making it possible that the mission go forth. They're all involved with that. They gave up something in return for the gospel to be preached. That's what they gave up. They made it their goal that the gospel be preached. The church today needs to do the same. Local congregations ought to be involved with mission works. It is not only edifying to the ones involved in the going, but the recipients are encouraged by the presence of faithful workers, the recipients, the receivers, and those supporting are laying up in store treasures in heaven. They're not earthly treasures. It's treasures in heaven. See, and that's where our focus needs to be, according to Colossians 3 and verse 1 and 2. We look to heavenward. Everything we do in this life is pointed and directed towards heaven, towards the Lord that loves us and cares for us and sacrificed for us. All involved are blessed through such works. May we always establish mission efforts as a part of our works. And finally, once we establish the goal of doing mission work, then we need to help out and work together in fulfilling the Lord's mission. That's what we need to do. In Mark 16 and verse 20, we are told to go into the world and preach the gospel. The Lord worked with his apostles, confirming their words with miracles. In doing so, the apostles and Lord worked together. They worked together. Thus, what we see taking place in Jerusalem is the apostles preaching and teaching the lost on that memorial day of Pentecost in the city streets of that city. They spoke the commandments of the Lord, Acts 1, verses 1 and 2. They did not speak of their own accord, but as the Holy Spirit had taught them and brought to remembrance the things that Jesus had taught them, John 14 and verse 26 and 16 and verse 13. They worked with Christ in the propagation of the mission. And when we look over to Acts chapter 19 and verse 1, we see that workers were in different places fulfilling the same responsibility. And it came to pass while Paul was at Corinth, and Paul having passed to the upper coast of Ephesus, finding certain disciples. You see, Apollos and Paul were going out and working with others, teaching them the word of truth. And here at Ephesus, Paul had noticed 12 men that had not done things correctly. And he taught them the truth. And you know what they did when they're minds saw this, when their hearts saw this, and their hearts heard this, and they comprehended and they understood, they responded by being baptized in the name of Jesus. You see, people will respond once the truth is presented. They will respond. They will respond in one of two ways, either in obedience or disobedience. But they will respond, and they will be held accountable. When we look to Romans chapter 14, and we read in verses 7 and 8, "For none of us lives to himself, no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord, and whether we live, therefore we die, we are the Lord's." Bottom line, we belong to God. We have been purchased and bought with a price. We are the Lord's. You have ever wondered where the poet got his famous words from, "No man is an island"? Comes right from Romans 14 and verse 7. That's where it comes from. See, for none of us lives to himself, no man dies to himself. We live to see the mission furthered. That's why we live, that's why we breathe, that's why we work, is to see God's mission propagated, put forward, the mission carried forth into all the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and looking this time at verses 8 and 9, we read within God's scriptures these words, "Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building." See, we work together. We are co-workers with God. We work together. Our work in seeking and saving the lost is a responsibility that is shared by all. God has given the church an awesome mission, a mission that is worked with all for the glory of God. It is the responsibilities of elders, preachers, and members to work together for the common good. This morning, we have learned from the Word that we are to put our minds to the work of God. We need to put our minds to that work. Use our minds to move us into action in preaching Jesus to the lost and the darkened world. The foundation for any and all evangelistic efforts is Christ. Jesus is the focus. He is what makes the church. He is what builds the church. The church has only one foundation. Furthermore, we must be doers of the word, and as a result, doers of mission work. And in addition, the local congregation needs to establish mission as a priority. And this can be done in a number of practical ways within each assembly of the Lord's church. And finally, when we work together in reaching the lost, we fulfill the teachings of God, and the church in turn is edified and built up. When we do it the Lord's way, we cannot improve upon what He has commanded. His way is the best way.